Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning, afternoon, whatever you want to say. Welcome back to Kirch's Corner. We're back for yet another week, a little later than usual. Life gets crazy sometimes, so I decided I would just film this one after I got done with class. I didn't have time yesterday, and here we are. It's been a while since Thursday Night Football. I think we all know that by now. But that's basically another main topic for this week, with the Packers just dominating the coverage of all of Wisconsin right now. We just had primetime football against the Commanders, and we won that game. You can see down below on the ticker, it's going to go by right now. We won that game in primetime. They made it seem a lot closer than it actually was. No offense to the Commanders. 27-8, the Packers won again at home at Lambeau in primetime. And again, what a showing it was. Now, as I was just saying, this game, if you didn't watch the game, you would think that this game was very, very, very close. And that is very, very, very false. This was very similar to the Lions game, where basically the Packers controlled every second of the game. And there was really never a point in time when it seemed that the other team had a chance, really, or that they had anything really working for them. For the Packers, it's just been complete domination through and through for these first 2 weeks, and right now they are looking outstanding. And we can just take a look at some of the big headlines from that game. So Jordan Love with another excellent game, 292 yards, two touchdowns, 9.4 yards per completion, which is very, you know... It's very telling of how Jordan Love has been so far. He's been looking for a lot of bigger plays. His accuracy, he's made some pretty impressive throws, such as that one to Jaden Reed that was essentially a touchdown, if you don't consider the holding call. Ultimately ended up getting Jaden Reed hurt. Broken collarbone for him. He should be out for a bit. But for one of the first times in a long time, we have wide receiver depth, I guess you could say. We have a lot of guys that can fill in. So that's encouraging. Obviously, we will love to see a lot more of Jaden Reed than we're probably going to see, but this is just the way it goes. You know, things you got to deal with. And then you go back to the run game, which is a place where I think teams have been really focusing on, considering Josh Jacobs was the guy last year for us. His longest carry was only 10 yards, 84 yards and a touchdown with 3.7 yards per carry, 23 carries. Again, that's just Josh Jacobs, just a workhorse. And then we go to the receivers. Dontavian Wicks had an excellent game. His PFF grade was among the highest on the team. He was doing awesome. And Tucker Kraft, man, what a game. Longest reception for him was 57 yards. Six catches, 124 yards, one touchdown. He's looking like one of the best tight ends in the NFL right now. And again, Luke Musgrave looked all right. Got some catches in there. Romeo Doubs, three catches and a touchdown. Showing emotion out there. Matthew Golden, that's one thing that, you know, I've noticed is that two targets for him, no catches. You know, it's easy to say that this Matthew Golden era has been pretty disappointing or underwhelming so far, you could say. Again, rookie, you can always take that into account. But if you watch the game, you notice that there were a few touchdowns even. One that was nearly an interception intended for Matthew Golden. Love just underthrew that a little bit. He was had his man beat. If Love puts a little more air on the ball, that's a touchdown. And that happened again. He overthrew him when it was just a complete dead sprint on his route. He had probably about two or three defensive backs near him, but Love overthrew him just out of reach, couldn't bring it in. I mean, the big play potential's there, which is really what they're missing right now with Christian Watson out. You know, that's what we're used to seeing with him. Now we're kind of seeing that shift to Matthew Golden, but, you know, that'll get cleaned up as we go on because, of course, you know, Love is going to start making those throws. There's no way around that. And then we get back to the story of the entire season so far, the reason why we're being hailed as the best team in the NFL, or one of the best teams in the NFL, is the defense. The defense has been, I would say, unheard of from the Packers. I know there have been some good defenses in recent years, probably those first few years that we had with Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith. You know, those were some good defenses with good pass rush. Nothing has come close to this. I don't think we've ever seen a player as dominant on this team on the defensive side as Micah Parsons. You know, the narrative still sticks. Everything they're doing revolves around Micah Parsons. Quick throws. Jaden Daniels, less than 5 yards per completion. It was his worst game we've ever seen out of his young career, which is shocking to see. 200 yards for him on 42 attempts, 4.8 yards per completion, 2 touchdowns. Again, let's take into account garbage time here. Their run game was virtually non-existent with only 51 yards total, 2.7 per carry. And Terry McLaurin, didn't see a lot out of him. Deebo Samuel, he's had tendencies to be great against the Packers in the past. Obviously, that was not completely the case. And the defense was a massive part in that. Jane Daniels was under pressure constantly. That's what we're seeing. The entire scheme is around this pass rush and how they can avoid what's happening here. And, you know, it's really working out in our favor. And, again, that's all to Micah Parsons. And Lucas Van Ness has had this door open for him from Micah Parsons. He ended up with a tackle for loss. This is way more than we've ever seen from Lucas Van Ness. I mean, preseason, I was talking about how this could be his make-or-break year or how we could be shipping him out soon. We've seen nothing out of him, and now he's shifted into this everyday kind of starter that you can rely on for some stuff like this. And even the cornerbacks have been, you know, playing with a little bit more swagger. Keyshawn Nixon looked like a serviceable cornerback one. And that was such a big doubt for everybody heading into this season, right? You know, Keyshawn Nixon, is he really going to be our number one cornerback? And he showed out this week. And the reason why is how much more comfortable can you play when you know that that quarterback has to get the ball out? You know, a few of those deflections that he had completely were, you know, he didn't even have to move that much. He can sit 8 yards back and kind of just play on the ball. They have a safety net with that pass rush, the defensive line. Devontae Wyatt has turned out to be great stepping in the place of Kenny Clark. He had a sack, tackle for loss. I mean, he was just, again, looking very serviceable. Rashawn Gary had a sack. Egrin Cooper, 10 tackles and a half sack. 2 quarterback hits for him. He's been on fire. Usually it's Quay Walker leading the charge on tackles. Now it's that combo of the both of them, which is just great to see. Keyshawn Nixon with 5 passes defended. That is unheard of from him. He looked excellent. And Nate Hobbs was out there. Everybody, there's really no complaints on that defensive side right now. And it's time to have a serious talk. You know, it's after week one, how much of an overreaction can you give? Now, I think it's appropriate to not call it an overreaction, but this is the best team we've seen in probably a decade, I think, all around. Of course, we had some great years with MVP Rodgers, but let's be real, those teams were completely carried by Aaron Rodgers. There was no discussion of really whether that team all around was that great. It was Rodgers, Devontae, and everybody else at times. This team, you know, I'm a little young to be talking about the 2011 team, but I think whether or not this team, you know, I'm not going to make any predictions on playoff standing yet. I'm not going to go that far. But when you look up and down this roster, I think just the fact that Micah Parsons has made such a difference and made everybody that much better, this is starting to look a lot like that 2011 team where you can look up and down and say, oh my gosh, they just had players on players, just fantastic talent all across the roster. And that's the point that we're getting to with this team. And, you know, Tucker Kraft coming into his own, becoming an excellent target for Jordan Love. Jordan Love can play comfortably. You know, there's a lot to be happy about right now. And I think, you know, I'm going to make an early prediction here. We can look on the schedule. This Sunday, the Packers are playing the Browns. If the Packers lose that game, I don't even know what to say. I figured that at least, you know, one of these first two games would be dropped by the Packers. These are two really tough games, two of the top teams in the NFC last year. And they both pretty much got walked by Green Bay. Detroit, and again, 27 points each game. Offense isn't, you know, blowing you away yet. But again, there's a lot of mistakes to be cleaned up. Jordan Love missed a lot of open touchdowns, but we know that's not consistent with who he is. That should get cleaned up. And, you know, again, garbage time points. Those games were not as close as those final scores show. And, you know, Sunday, like I said, we're playing the Browns. That should be an easy win in Cleveland. So a little bit of a road trip here. Then the week after, in prime time on Sunday night, taking on the Cowboys. You know, a little bit of, there's always been a little bit of bad blood there. Now with Micah Parsons leaving, I think there's just a little bit more behind that. And I still think that's an easier win for the Packers. Week six, you know, we have a week five bye week. So I'm kind of glad to get that out of the way quick because I want to watch, you know, nonstop Packers for, you know, the rest of the season. And week six, so that's October, October 12th, Cincinnati, who just lost Joe Burrow for about 3 months for turf toe. He has to get surgery on that toe. So that leads me to believe, you know, I thought that would be almost a guaranteed win anyways with how good this pass rush has been and how the Bengals do not invest in their O-line. That game seemed to be dominated by us anyways. Now with no Joe Burrow, you got to feel a little bit better about that. And then, you know, after that, week after, playing the Cardinals in Arizona. And then the week after that, which is honestly, I think, the toughest game in this, what, you know, five-game stretch, is the Steelers in primetime in Pittsburgh. And honestly, I think before then, we're not going to lose a game. I'm going to make an early prediction. Knock on wood, I'm going to be confident. I'm going to overreact. I don't think the Packers should lose a game up till that point, and I don't even think they should lose to the Steelers. I think that game's even in question for me, just solely off the fact that Aaron Rodgers, you know, is Aaron Rodgers. And there's a lot of plot in that game. A lot of stakes, you could say, for Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. That's a good team. Not going to deny that. And week after, as we hit into November here, first November game is against the Panthers at home. Come on. I think we're going to win that game as well. And then the real test, you know, this is a pretty easy stretch, I think, compared to the rest of the season. These last weeks are going to be really tough. But on, you know, mark your calendar right now, Monday, November 10th, against the Eagles at Lambeau, primetime, Monday Night Football, that will be the biggest test of the season by far. And that's where we really find out where we stand in this NFC against probably, you know, the reigning Super Bowl champion. Where are we going to stand? Just beat the Chiefs? Where do we stand with the Eagles? That's where we find out how we're going to match up with the rest of the season with the best. And that can kind of give us a good baseline. Of course, the Eagles have had our number in recent years. That's definitely subject to change, likely now rather than any other time. So you can maybe take my word for that. I think right now we're 2-0, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-0 for sure. Going to be in question with that Pittsburgh game. So we could say 6.5. And then the Carolina game, 7.5. I think we'll clinch playoffs, you know, easily this year. I think as long as everything goes to plan, Jordan Love doesn't, I don't even want to think about that. But I think we should be in good standing compared to how we've been so far. So there's my overreaction of the week. And, you know, I wouldn't expect any much stress this weekend against the Browns. So you can kind of sit back, relax, maybe pay attention to your fantasy team or something. Watch the Vikings and Bears, I guess, and the Lions, see how they stack up. J.J. McCarthy's been very interesting to watch so far. So have the Bears. And, you know, that's a good majority of the tail end of our season. So that's all I've got for you this week. A little bit later than usual, but again, that's not typical for me. So with that being said, thank you for watching, everybody. 2-0. And the Brewers are finishing up their season, so we can get some coverage on that as soon as, like, you know, things start ramping up a little bit. So with that being said, Thank you for watching Kirch's Corner. As always, I'm Lucas Kirchner, your host. And we'll see you next week. How about it?